This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, all 50 states, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. This Trumpet of Truth, every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, is the time for all of America to stop what you're doing and hear the word of the Lord and worship. What a nation we will be. So America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 45, where we left off last time. John, chapter 11, verse 45. Now, last time, Jesus had raised a man named Lazarus from the dead. And we learned that Lazarus' name in the original language means Eleazar, which was the third son of Aaron, the high priest, in Numbers 20. When Aaron's son took over the priesthood, Eleazar, the priesthood, the true priesthood of the Lord Jesus, was revived. And when Jesus died and paid the sin debt and ascended back to heaven, Jesus became our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But since Paul said these things happened in the Bible for an admonition to those of us who come to the end of this age, for us it means that while the church has been asleep, like Lazarus was asleep, the church is now awakening and the true priesthood, the Zadok, are arising with the word wrapped in the spirit so God's voice is heard.
Amen.
45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him.
Now the word Jews, Greek, eudas. Now this would be our good brother Judah. Because they saw the miracles, they believed on Jesus. That's good.
46, but some of them went their way unto the Pharisees.
Some of them. These are those who say they are Judah but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, and Cain the child of the devil, when the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden.
Told them what things Jesus had done.
Oh, tut, tut, this Jesus raised a man from the dead. Bad, bad.
47, then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees to counsel and said, what do ye?
What in the world can we do about this Jesus doing miracles, feeding the poor, cleansing the leper, raising the dead? Oh, what a bad man. We got to get rid of him, say the phony church leaders. As my friend said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
For this man doeth many miracles.
Oh.
48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and the nation.
All right, these priests were not ordained or appointed by God. It does not matter whether you have a piece of paper or anybody says you're ordained. If you're called and chosen and elected by God and God ordains you, that's all that matters. These men were appointed by the Roman government. And if these phony priests let Jesus call himself king, they would take away their cushy position. Because, see, they got paid very well for doing nothing, really. Caesar would let no man be king but himself. So they were fighting for their jobs. Just follow the money trail when you're talking about false prophets.
49, and one of them named Caiaphas.
Caiaphas' name means depression. Whoa.
Being a high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all.
You don't know what you're talking about. Now, he's appointed by the Roman government, too. This is not a true priest. This is not Eleazar. But what we're going to do now, we're about to see a third miracle. The first miracle was when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The second miracle was when Lazarus floated out of that tomb bound hand and foot like a mummy. Now we're going to find a man who is not appointed by God, and yet God is going to use whom he will choose. He's going to pull his Balaam donkey trick and make depression Mr. Caiaphas here say a truth. How about that? God can do anything.
Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man die for the people and that the whole nation perish not.
What he's doing here, even though he was not a true priest and did not accept Jesus, he did have to study the Torah, the Bible, the scriptures in order to do his work. So he knew that in Psalm 22, it said that there would be the suffering Messiah who would die for their sins. So he does know that. See, he's saying that is true, and yet he's a false prophet. So God is using whom he chooses.
51, and this spake he not of himself.
In other words, he didn't do that voluntarily. The Holy Spirit took over his tongue, and like Balaam donkey, you just say this, Caiaphas, you old depressed priest, you.
But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation.
Listen to him, Balaam donkey trick. I mean, God will use the one he will choose.
53, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God, which were scattered abroad.
Now what he's quoting here is from Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6. So I'm going to read this, the tribes scattered abroad. Remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Preachers and scholars misunderstand and lump them all 12 and call them Judah. They don't even say it correctly. It is just one brother named Judah. They were split then and they are split now. At the time that this happened, the 10 tribes called the House of Israel had been captured many years before by Sennacherib the Assyrian and had migrated over the Caucasus Mountains into the area we now know as Great Britain, Scotland, Ireland, and England. The House of Judah, those two tribes, were in part there in Jerusalem. So he knows there's a prophecy in Isaiah 49 that says a Messiah is coming to the lost tribes of Israel. Remember the Phoenician woman who was a Kenite, wanted Jesus to heal her daughter? And he says, I am but come to the lost tribes of the House of Israel, the 10 tribes. And he says, I won't heal a dog. A dog was a jackal or a Kenite. However, he did have compassion on her and healed her. So Caiaphas knows this, Isaiah 49. So let's hear it. Isaiah 49, verse 5 and 6. Just hold your finger there.
Isaiah 49, verse 5. Now said the Lord that formed me from the womb.
Now this is Jesus speaking in prophecy in Isaiah. Jesus is Yahweh's Savior. So he says, the Lord that formed me in my mother Mary's womb to have a flesh body.
To be his servant.
To be his servant. Jesus did not come to reign as king then. He came to serve. He came to serve on a silver platter, his blood to wash away your sins.
Jacob again to him.
Jacob, all 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are scattered and many have gone astray. We read in Revelation that Dan's not even mentioned there. However, Dan is mentioned in Ezekiel in the later eternity.
Though Israel be not gathered,
they are divided,
yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of my Lord, and my God shall be my strength.
His Lord then would be his Father. And Jesus says, and I will pay the sin debt, and God will give me the strength to do it. Now God the Father speaks in Isaiah 49, verse 6. They're having a conversation. This was prophesied before the foundation of the earth.
Isaiah, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant.
God says, my son, what a light, 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 bright you are in this world. What a beautiful light you're bringing to this darkness, that you would do this, that you would be the Passover lamb, that you would die for the sins of all of my children.
to raise up the tribes of Jacob.
Jacob, all 12 tribes, that's all 12. When it says Israel, it's the tribes plus the Gentiles who come in.
And to restore the preserved of Israel.
Now, the preserved means the very elect, and keep that in mind. That's the Zadok, that's a small group in every generation, very elect here at the end. Because to preserve the elect we preserve the truth, the elect have the mystery of God, and then we take it out to the tribes, even during the millennium, and that brings all 12 tribes in. When they hear the word with the Spirit, God's voice is heard.
I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles.
And that's not all. After we get this word out, Lord Jesus, that you die for not only the 12 tribes and the elect tell this story, whosoever will may come. So this is a prophecy that Jesus would die for anyone sinned who would repent.
That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
The end of the earth age. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the sin debt. He died on the cross, and he shed his blood. He arose from the dead. And ever since then, and even now, as we come to this end of this age in the fifth trump, we still say, come, it's not too late. And during the reign of the Antichrist, coming very soon at the sixth trump, which has been shortened for the elect's sake, there will still be time. But once that seventh trump sounds and Jesus comes, then it's too late.
And now back to John 11, verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death.
All right, they were going to try to outdo the scriptures. Say, you can run, little gingerbread man, but you cannot change the great I Am's word of God. As it is written, so shall it be. If you never get another confirmation, if you never get another dream or another sign or another sound, if God said it, it's going to come to pass. That helps me. And all I do is take one moment at a time and trust what God said. That's all you have to do, like a child. One step and moment at a time. Be what he wants you to be right there. Don't worry about the rest. He said it, it's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
54, Jesus no more walked openly among the Jews.
Now, the reason Jesus did this, he knew they were going to crucify him, and he meant to. He was going to let them do that. He came to die. But God has a timetable, and he has an appointment book, and he's very orderly about this. So Jesus has a few days before he's going to allow them to arrest him. So he's not going to let them arrest him until it's time. See, there's a timetable for everything in your life. You can push and you can pray and you can try to knock the door down. If you would just wait at the appointed time, the vision shall come, and then it will not tarry. So Jesus is not going to let him kill him yet. What's he going to do? Listen to what he's going to do.
But went thence into a country.
He went into a country, okay.
In the wilderness.
Wilderness means it was hidden. To this day, this country, the truth of this country, is hidden to the most of the body of Christ. Oh, you know the name of it, but you don't know that the 10 tribes were there.
Into a city called Ephraim.
Ephraim means double fruitfulness. Double fruitfulness. Double portion. When the 10 tribes were captured by Sennacherib and settled in what we call Great Britain, they eventually stopped calling themselves the House of Israel and began to call themselves Ephraim. So Ephraim was one of Joseph's sons. So Jesus went there, and we're going to find that he took his disciples with him. Now history tells us that when Jesus was a lad, somewhere between 12 and the time he showed himself at 30 years of age. Remember the Bible is dark on what happened there? Okay. History tells us, I have this documentation, that in Glastonbury, England, they sing songs of a young lad who was the Messiah in a great big ship coming into Glastonbury, England, and with Joseph of Arimathea, Mary's rich uncle, who was rich in 10 mines. It is documented in Glastonbury, England, that Jesus went there. Now Jesus is going to go back one more time. He remembers that he's come to the lost tribes of Israel. These were our ancestors. At that time, Great Britain had not broken off and come to settle Canada, the United States of America. Our forefathers were there, and Jesus came to visit them one more time. Jesus is very, very God, true, true God, but Jesus was also very, very man, true, true man, and he knew how to comfort himself. Do you know how to comfort yourself when it gets too hard?
And there he continued with his disciples.
And he took them on a little trip. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?
55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand.
Now that would be our brother Judah. Remember in Exodus 20, God said, every year kill the Passover lamb, put the blood on the two side posts and the lintel, which makes a sign of a cross, tav in the Hebrew. And when death sees the blood, he will pass over you. So, now listen to this. Jesus, in this book of John we've been studying, has already attended two Passovers. Remember that? He went and attended. This is going to be the third one. Three strikes and you're out. This time, Jesus is going to be the Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. At this Passover, Jesus will shed his blood on the cross. And he will say, 6 days, 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 1. It is done.
And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves.
One thing about the Israelites, they were very obedient, the Hebrew people were. Unlike church folks today, they come to church if they feel like it, if something better doesn't come along, or maybe you're a little bit tired or you got a party to go to. No, they all went to Passover. That's good.
56, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not be to the feast?
Jesus was taking up rent-free space in everybody's mind at this Passover. The poor came there hoping he would fill up their grocery bag. The sick came there to be healed. The lukewarmers who never do anything but watch the show came to watch somebody raised from the dead. And the phony baloney church leaders were there to kill him. Boy, everybody was thinking about Jesus.
57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given the command that if any man knew where he were, he should show it.
If you see something, say something.
That they might take him. John chapter 12, verse 1.
Now we see God's timetable. 6 days before Passover. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jesus on the cross will die and say, it is done.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, and was raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served.
He's still human enough to want to be with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now this is a family. These are two sisters and one brother. Each one of these people is on a different level with Jesus. This is a type and shadow of the body of Christ here at the end. You are either Martha, you are Lazarus, or you are Mary. Or maybe you're having the metamorphosis there and you're moving into that. Okay, let's see what Martha does.
But Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with him.
All right, first of all, Martha serves. She cooks and cooks. Martha is as busy as a beaver. Martha just has to get it done, get it done, get it done. Martha never takes time to listen to Jesus. I've got to get the cooking done. I've got to get this done. I've got to run hither, thither, and yon. This is what is important. This is what is important. Nothing is important, people, except you fulfill the destiny of God. Martha is too busy to hear the Lord, but she loves Jesus. She's saved. She believes. Are you Martha? Are you always thinking you got to be doing something? Do you know the hardest work you can do is to learn how to pray and groan by the Holy Spirit? You can do that for hours and you will have expended enough energy to dig ditches in the hot sun 12 hours, and you will change people's lives as God will by the prayer In other words, we are all busy. I can tell you, some of you are so many Marthas. Martha, Martha, you're busy about many things. Mary has chosen the better thing. Here's one of the things, Christians, let me help you. As you move along and grow into your destiny, some of the things that you used to do which were very, very good and God meant for you to do them, and you'll get a part of your panel for that, you need to slough it off, dump that. Because, in other words, you cannot be to all people everything. For instance, all of you love, love, love to help people. But when people every day of their life call you and tell you their troubles, and you try to explain to them from the Bible what to do, and they don't want to hear that, they don't ever do anything with it, they're leaning on you, they are not wanting God, they are wanting your attention, and you are enabling them. Do not throw your pearls before swine. Half of your time is there. You text and you text and you text and you text and you sit in front of the internet and half of the people come at you. I know this. I love people. I love to pray for people. I will stay up with you 24 hours if I see you sincere. But I have learned. I can spot it on a dime. I know whether you're real or not, or whether you're coming to me for me or coming to me for sympathy. See, don't throw your pearls before swine. One of the characteristics of a swine is that they always whine. So Martha's busy about getting the outer stuff done. Is Martha too busy to sit and hear what Jesus thinks of her heart? Ah, now Lazarus has been asleep. He's sitting at Jesus' table. He's the priesthood resurrected. Now, at last, you've awakened, church member, and now you say, oh, I see, there was three earth ages before this. There was a seduction in the garden. Satan started this when he rebelled. There's seven trumps. There's the fallen angels. So you, as the awakened priesthood, now you sit at the table of Jesus, and you eat the bread of God. Those of you listening to me now, you're doing that. So I pray you are Eleazar. Before you preach, before you serve, before you get on your high horse, you got to have the word of God, because the priest has got to have the whole word of God. Are you Lazarus? Many of you are awakening. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now,
hallelujah.
How about Mary?
Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair.
All right. Mary has the anointing. Mary is a type of the men and women of the body of Christ who have the anointing. The anointing of Jesus means he paints himself on you. I like to call it the anointing of Elijah. Now, it was customary that a woman would buy all of these beautiful expenses, spices, and perfumes, and put them in an alabaster box and save them for her wedding day. And when she was to be married, she would anoint herself with this and she would smell really, really great for her bridegroom. But Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's forfeiting the first bridegroom. The elect will not marry the Antichrist, the rest of the world will. And she's waiting for the true bridegroom. She's going to let the lesser give way for the greater. All right. The psalmist says in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 9, he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Mary is the type of the elect man or woman who is to be utilized here at the end time to help Jesus put the enemy under his feet. We know that when Jesus arose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven. And heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Jesus is resting his feet on earth. But there's some bad things coming from the earth. The serpent, the devil, raises his ugly head. And since the devil is the bramble of Judges 9, the thorn, it pricks Jesus. So Mary, the very elect of God, men and women right now, when you are delivered up to the Antichrist and you let Holy Spirit say what you're going to say, You are, as Daniel said, the ships of Chittim, the bruises, and you're going to bruise the Antichrist head, the devil's head, and that's going to cause the devil to stop pricking Jesus' feet. The elect Mary, because you're anointed, and because you understand the plan of God, because you're going to forfeit the first bridegroom and wait for the true one, you are going to be utilized. This is your destiny, to make the enemy be under Jesus' feet. He is letting you do that. All of this preparation, all of the gifts and callings and talents and all that we're preparing, all of our lives, this overcoming, this fighting demons, this gift, all of this is for the big platform when you marry men, women, anointed, absolutely bruise the head of Satan. Genesis 3:15, her seed shall bruise your head. You are the bruisers. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you married? Hallelujah. Are you married? Praise God.
Praise God.
And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
Now Jesus is the temple. There is a fragrance that comes from the Marys of the world, the men and women. When you pray, as Romans 8:26 says, with groanings which cannot be uttered, that's those snortings we talked about. That's where the Holy Spirit sighs and cries through you, and it comes up to God's house. It smells so good to him, like a sweet smelling fragrance. And Paul says, you, the elect Mary type, you men and women, you smell good to other Christians. Don't you love it when an elect's coming? You know they're not going to whine like swine. You know they're going to say, yes, there's hope. I'll pray for you. I love you. I believe in you. We don't have to go there anymore. Let's get up and clap our hands. And you smell so sweet to the lost world, because this world is in darkness. There is a beautiful fragrance about God's people, cinnamon and lilac and roses. The devil's people smell like sulfur.
Verse 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot.
Iscariot means a builder of cities. In the book of Genesis, Cain was a builder of cities. That is why his offering was not accepted, because he has a thumb, not a green thumb, but a death thumb. The Kenites, the descendants of Cain, cannot grow anything. They may own the farm, but they have to hire sharecroppers. And so Cain was the builder of cities. The Kenites are the owners of the great slum lords in our big cities, and they stack people on top of each other. And so Iscariot was a Kenite. You say, what? Yes. Do you think Jesus knew that? Of course. It was written of Judas. Here's the thing. In every assembly, I have fought this in this place year after year by myself until my twin friend Scott came along and he helps me fight now. Every time that there is that assembly of God's elect, the devil makes sure to send a Judas in. But Judas is not those people that come in and disrupt and say bad things to me and tear up everything and say this is bad. Those are not. No, no, no. Those are just bad people, demonic people. The Judas loves you pretending, flatters you. The Judas says, oh, you are so great, Pastor. And the Judas knows the Bible and cons everybody in the congregation to pay more attention to them than to pray for the teacher. See, it's a con job. The enemy likes to come in and do an inside job. You always wonder, I asked today, did Peter and James and John and Thomas and all of those know that Judas was a Kenite? I don't think so, because we never had any conversation about it. But Jesus knew it. Why does Jesus do that? It's a test. You as the congregation should know the feeling of everybody who walks in this door. This is holy ground. I can feel it in 1 second flat. That's why many times you see me, I'll take hours with one person, another person, I'll be nice, pray, and move. See? And you have to get to that point. But you're supposed to know that. You are supposed to know that.
Simon's son, which should betray him? 5. Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
See, doesn't that look Christian? Oh, no, let's take this and sell it and give it to the poor. See, always man, what a person of God this is in our midst. Whoa, whoa, really living for God here. All the while, stabbing you in the back.
6.
And he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and there what was put therein.
He wanted to be the secretary of the World Bank. We'll have to tell President Trump.
7. Then said Jesus, let her alone.
Let her alone.
Against the day of my burial that she kept this.
Now Mary knew that Jesus was going to die. Also knew he was going to arise again because he had told her so, so she believed him. So she decided to give up being married, and she was not only anointing Jesus' feet for the burial, she was anointing him for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It wasn't a waste at all, because see, now in heaven, Mary, this woman, is now the wife of the Lord. She will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. She is at least betrothed to be the wife of the Lord. So you see, the lesser gives way for the greater. What all this nonsense in your life? Dump it like a dump truck. Dump it over the edge and clean out, get your house in order, and put God first. And let that anointing come arise upon you. And be Lazarus, sit at the table and learn, and you are, and I love you for that. But then you want to be Mary. You want to be used by God when you're delivered up to the Antichrist. This is the highest calling any Christian can have at this age, to put the enemy under Jesus' feet. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. I hope you were blessed.
Amen.
Well, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to unveil the mystery of God. I want to welcome Scott Merson, my twin friend. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Sherry. I'm doing real good. That was awesome fragrance you released tonight.
Yes, yes. Good fragrance.
That was
a spiritual fragrance. That's right. Very expensive blood of Jesus.
Yes, very, very expensive. Okay, our first caller wants to know, do you pray for the sick? And if you do you anoint with oil?
Yes and yes. I pray for the sick. I lay hands on the sick, and lots of times Jesus heals them. Yes, I use the oil. James 5:13 says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. That means someone who's called of God, anointed in the word. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there be any sins, they be forgiven him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word oil in the manuscripts is two names of God, Eliyah. In other words, it symbolizes the anointing, and the anointing destroys the yoke, and the anointing causes people to be healed. Jesus is the anointed one. I have to say, Scott, I do that, and Scott now is doing that too. We pray every time we have a service here. Scott stands on one side of the holy bench and I on the other, and we pray for that, and Scott, that gift is coming up in you too.
Yeah, I've seen it here, and I've also experienced it here.
You've
it's
experienced
awesome. Yeah, awesome thing.
We prayed for you and the Lord. We give him the glory.
Amen.
He's the healer, but
we
are utilized there.
Amen. Okay, our next caller wants to know, James says our tongue can turn the whole ship around. Can you explain that one?
Yes, because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Jesus says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And when we think, we say it, and words have power. Remember, God is the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and so for the Word was God. Word makes a sound. So every time you speak, there's a movement that takes place. And see, we know sometimes that the fact is the trouble is there. But when we perpetually speak that trouble, that's what I was talking about. When you got someone and they never get past just calling you up every day and telling you your troubles and hours of that and never go beyond that, then you are calling those things which are not as though they were. You are increasing that. It actually creates. And if you would speak the word of God over and over and over, that big old heavy ship of trouble, even though it's hard to turn around, will eventually turn around. Death and life's in the power of the tongue.
And it's so important to speak life now. There's so much negativity,
yes.
And the negativity opens up the gates to the enemy and the attack upon us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Most Christians who are suffering, you bring it on by what you say. Now, you do need one person. You may tell me. Don't hesitate to call me. Tell me your troubles. I love you, and I'm a counselor. You may tell me those troubles. I will listen. I will cry with you. I will understand it. But after a while, I'm going to give you God's solution. And then I expect you to get up and do something about it. Because, see, you can't make me your God. When you enable a friend to perpetually lean on you and never go to God, you have placed yourself between them and God. So, see, that's enabling, like Al-Anon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Al-Anon. Yeah. Our final question. Somebody wants to know, is President Trump a Gentile?
President Trump is not a Gentile. He is the true seed of Abraham, Hebrew. When those 10 tribes migrated to the Caucasus Mountain, they were all Hebrew, Israel, and they settled in Scotland. President Donald Trump is from Scotland, Ireland, and England. The Bible says this. It looked like the seed line of the Hebrew people was about to die out, except those tribes. So Jeremiah the prophet took two of the tender twigs, caught up with those 10 tribes to marry them to keep the seed line pure, and one of the daughters' name was Scuta, after which Scotland is named. Donald Trump is Scotland, and he is the true seed of Abraham. For 8 years, I have prayed with a group here every Wednesday night that since the Kenite government has taken over a country, that God would lift us up every Wednesday night for 8 years, a true seed of Abraham, and voila! President Donald Trump. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, and it is so important for us to understand that
yes.
we are the tribes of Israel, that this is our covenant that we share with them, and that's why it's
yes.
important for the alignment.
And the church needs to know
yeah,
that,
they really
Scott.
They really do.
Does. Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in his bag.
Yeah.
What is Scott's stuff today?
Well, when I heard your message tonight, I was really, this is such on target. What it was released for with what you have given. And I'm supposed to do it with authority, so.
Mm-hmm.
The unearthed jewels are arising as eagles, clothed in the kingship and priesthood apparel, moving with authority and dominion to take the spoil of the enemy for a prey.
Praise the
yeah,
Lord.
And we're brought to Revelation 12:14.
That is so beautiful. The thief yeah. be found, he restores sevenfold.
Amen. Recompense.
We're in the time of restoration and recompense.
We are.
We really are.
Sure.
These are the best days to be. Thank you very much,
you,
Scott
Jay.
Mercer. We appreciate it. That was beautiful. For those of you who are not saved, please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone. I asked you to call me and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is fatigue and depression, we just speak to that in Jesus' name. Let the energy of Jesus Christ flow. Let your youth be renewed as the eagles. Let your strength be renewed as the eagles. Let the burdens be lifted at Calvary. Let you have the mind of Christ. Let your lips speak the word of God. Let the joy rise up in you. Let you be strong and do exploits. Let the body be healed. Backbone, spine, central nervous system, diabetes be gone, nerve damage be gone, headaches be gone, eyes and ears be healed, brains be healed, feet and toes be healed, arms and backbone and spine, and kidneys and joints in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now if you were healed, please call and tell me that too. Excuse me. Now it is time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. One of the characteristics of an elect, a Mary type, man or woman, is courage. The great general George Patton said, courage is simply fear holding on a little bit longer. And Jesus said, be of good courage, I have overcome the world. I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Wednesday, we have powerful, fervent prayer warrior plus the word. Now, I want all of you to go and tell. It is a sin for you to keep these truths and never share. You weren't saved to sit and stare. You were saved to go and share. Boy, I'm full of poetry tonight. That's the anointing. The Hebrew poets, all of that much is written in poetry. So that anointing comes on me, that happens there. Remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. Thank you so much for listening. Wait for my announcer and please call me. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock blessing you in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
When I'm alone with you, Lord, my troubles seem to disappear, and the peace that comforts me always comes when you are near, and the tears just fill my eyes when I stand in your presence, and your overwhelming mercy brings life to me. Your love's too much for my heart to contain. Joy too much when my feet won't refrain. Your touch has made me never be the same again. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand. Feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand. It's like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance. When I think about the ways that you have blessed my life, I sing a song of praise. Thankful tears fill my eyes. Cause your love's too much for my heart to contain. Joy too much when my feet won't refrain. Your touch has made me never be the same again. I'll dance like the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand. Feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand. I know an angel's got a hold in my hand, so I'll dance. I will dance with you, with you there to guide me, with you right beside me. I wanna dance with you, I'll dance.
dance with you.
You are worthy of my worship. You are worthy of my praise. Your glory, and I stand before you in the presence of your holiness, and I lift up my voice to my God of all wonders, and I lift up my soul and surrender to you in praise. You are worthy of my worship. Everlasting, you are righteous and wonderful, faithful and true. You are the light of the world that brought me out of darkness. You are my Savior, my God, reason to worship you. You are worthy of my worship.
You are worthy of my
your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Say
face to face I see the splendid beauty of the sun, the one who died for me. We die for us, church. We believe it tonight. Come on, let's sing together. Hallelujah, 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 all praise to our God, hallelujah, 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 all praise to you. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, we say hallelujah, all praise to our God, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hallelujah, all praise to our King. So Lord, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
Should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I say,